When you get to guest preach, you learn a lot of things. And one of those things I just learned actually right now is I get to sit in the front row before I preach. And if you're a bad singer like me, that's actually a good thing because I can belt it out and I'm not bothering anyone from behind and hearing me squeak and stuff like that. So that is another perk of guest preaching. I'll have to sit up there more often. So after Shane and Scott got a few of the leaders together for this new series, we got together a few months ago and we were divvying up who was going to preach what topics of the pillars based on the pillars of the church. And it was, I just felt led to do the one on prayer. So a couple weeks ago, I'm sitting here waiting for the service and Shane comes up to me and he's like, "Are you sure you still want to do prayer?" And I thought to myself, "Oh, does someone else want to do that one? That's okay. I can do a different one." He's like, "No, it's a tough topic. People feel insufficient when preaching on prayer, maybe, because we can always do it better. We feel like we're not good enough at it." And I said, I looked at the list and I'm like, "Well, I feel insufficient in all of these, so I think that's a good one for me. I'll stick with it." So today I'm going to be preaching the one on prayer. So my name again is Scott Hall. My wife and I, Allison, have been coming to Bend City now for roughly 5 years. We have three kids, Addie, Amelia, and Asher. They are 6, 4, and 1. I believe I got that right. I teach at the high school here at West Bend East. So people usually come up to me and say, "Oh, this is right up your alley. You get to talk in front of people. You do that every single day." And I usually tell them the difference is when I'm in class, half the kids are on their phones or trying to get on their phones, and the other half is sleeping. So it's like I'm talking to no one anyways. So if half of you ever feel like you want to take off phones and the other half want to sleep, that'll make me feel more at home. No, it's completely different. It's an honor, it's a privilege to get up here and speak about the Lord. I just feel a different weight when I talk about the Lord versus when I talk about U.S. history. Both are awesome, but I'm just so grateful to get the chance to speak in front of you guys today on prayer. And it's crazy in two ways, talking about empowering the church. I just want to give two examples how Christ empowers people like you, like me, in the church in ways that we usually don't expect. So Scott and Shane came to me and some other leaders, and he said, "Okay, I want you guys to preach." And I preached a couple of years ago once. This is my second time now. And they come to you, and it's, you know, Christ speaking to you. Because they usually come at a time when you're like, "I'm in a tough season in life, or I feel down, or I don't feel like I'm ready to do what God wants me to do." And then they come to you and they say, "Hey, it's time to preach. You want to preach again?" And you're like, "Oh, are you serious?" You just feel this weight, and you're just asking God, it's like, "Are you serious? You want me to do this right now after feeling down, feeling like a tough season of life?" And God does that. He does it in ways, in times that we don't expect. And that's kind of how I felt today. And then also the second example is just me myself. So take a look at everyone in here. We all have different personalities. We all have different attitudes, different talents. And God wants to empower us in different ways when we come to know Him. And I'm not saying that everyone's going to come up and preach in front of the church, but He's going to use us in completely different ways. And me personally, growing up, this would probably be the last place that I would think I would be speaking in front of people. My sister's here, some family, other families here, and they can kind of attest that growing up, I was extremely shy. I was the kid who was in the back of the classroom, sitting in the corner, never talking. I think I told my wife I didn't even speak to a girl until I was a senior in high school, maybe. So just very shy, not one to stand up in front and talk to others. And it's just kind of cool because that's how God empowers people. He empowers people in ways that they sometimes don't think or don't expect. And ultimately, the glory is going to be given to Him. So with each of you, just think about it yourself. How is God trying to empower me And this is a really cool series as far as that goes, with God just empowering us and using us in ways that sometimes we don't expect. So I'm going to be speaking on how God empowers us through prayer today. And when I started thinking about prayer, I started thinking we could probably spend an entire year, a whole series that could last a year on prayer. So I thought to myself, okay, how am I going to narrow this down? What does God specifically want me to talk about? And I was sitting in my living room struggling, thinking about this, and then a light bulb went off and God's like, why not just pray about it? So I started praying about it, and he kind of led me to two things that I'm going to talk about today. So the teacher inside of me, what we usually do is talk about our objectives before we start the class. So just to run it down for you, I'm going to briefly talk about what prayer is and why we pray. I'm not going to get into depth on that, but just give you a foundation of that. Then I'm going to hit just two points that I want to talk about of how Jesus empowers us through prayer. And then we're going to just wrap it up with some practical examples. So what does that look like in your lives? So the first, and it's going to, two things I want to cover here is what is prayer and why do we pray? And it's going to be very basic. I'm not a theologian by any regard. So I just want to just touch on a couple things. First off, just a couple statistics here. 55% of American Christians say that they pray every day. Another 21% of American Christians say that they pray weekly. So on top of that 55%, you have another 21%. So 76% of American Christians say they pray at least once or a couple times per week. But then this statistic was kind of startling to me. It said, but among Christians in America, only 63% say that prayer is an essential part of the Christian life, how we use it. So that was kind of staggering if you think about Christians and what is prayer and the power of prayer and how we use it, that only a little bit more than half say that it is an essential part of their life, of the Christian life. So what is prayer? Prayer is, simply put, just having a conversation with God. So we get to talk with God. We get to talk with the creator of the universe, the one who created us, who made this earth, who made everything that we see. And that's just an amazing thing. Sometimes we can kind of just go and pray and we go through the motions and, you know, oh, we get to talk to God. And we don't really understand the weight of it. We don't understand that he created everything. He have a little phone. See, if you were given the opportunity to have a little phone in your bedroom at night, and if you loved Apple, if there's anyone out there that just loves Apple, and you had the opportunity every single night to talk to Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, the two guys that created Apple, and you could ask them anything. You could talk to them. You can ask them questions. Why does my iPod do this? Why does my computer? How do I do this with my computer? What does that look like? I think all of you who love Apple, you wouldn't turn that opportunity down, right? You would love the opportunity to talk with those guys. We should see that in the same way with prayer and with Christ. We get to talk to him. We get to know him better. We get to relate to him. We get to bring him our problems. And we just get to simply have a conversation with the creator of the earth. As one theologian, unknown theologian, put it, I really like this. He said, prayer is, at root, simply paying attention to God. So it's not like God is sitting up in heaven like Santa Claus or something like that, where we write a list, right? And it's like, God, I need these things, or I need these prayers answered. He already knows what we need before we even come to him. So it's kind of cool how he says that. At root, it's us getting simply paying attention to God. God is always paying attention to us. He always sees us. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're feeling. But it's just a good opportunity and a cool thing that we get to come to him and we get to pay more attention to God. And that's kind of what I'm going to base some of my points off today, that we really want to pay attention to what God wants for us. So are we paying attention to God? Or do we, through our prayer, want him to pay more attention to us and our own desires? So that's the first thing I want you to think about, is when we pray to God? Are we having a conversation with him? Are we getting to know him? Are we trying to pay more attention to what he wants in our life? Or are we just coming to God with our prayers and saying, God, I have these desires, I have these wants, I have these needs, and I want you to fix it, and I want you to answer those questions. Some of the things that prayer include in the Bible, adorations, petitions, protection, healing, thanksgiving, and confessions. So these are all the things that we can come to God for. And what we really want to ask is, God, how do you want these things to work in my life to make my life reflect more of you? The second thing is why we pray. And this one's a simple one. It's because God commands it. So there's some things in the Bible that could be, or some things in our life that could be gray areas, like homeschool versus sending kids to school. The Bible doesn't say, you know, you must send your kids to school or you must homeschool. So there's some of those gray areas within our lives. But praying, on the other hand, is one of those things that God commands. And there's four verses, if we could put those up there. Just to point this out, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, God says, pray without ceasing. Okay, so that's as simple as it gets. Again, I'm not a theologian, but you read that and it's pretty straightforward. Pray without ceasing. We're commanded by God to pray. The second one, James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So he commands us, confess your sins, pray for one another. And then we see Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he says again, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So he's commanding us, pray. You need to pray. Don't be anxious. You need to pray. And then 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire that in every place, the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. So again, we see all these examples, and there's actually over 700 times in the Bible where they talk about prayer, where they talk about giving thanksgiving. And these are just four of the examples where God is simply commanding us to pray. It's not a suggestion. It's not up for interpretation. Well, I can be a Christian and maybe I just don't like that, or I'm not good at that, or it makes me uncomfortable. He's commanding us to pray. He's commanding us to get to know him better and to pray for many things, all of those things, to adore him, to petition, to protect, to heal, to give thanksgiving, to confess. That's simply just what we're doing. We're just praying to God, and that's just a really cool thing that we get to do with the creator of the universe. We pray for all those different reasons. And the overarching theme of prayer here is that it empowers the Christian. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've confessed your sins, if you've come to him and said, you died on the cross, Jesus, for my sins, and I'm going to lay my life down for you, and you're going to live for him, he has given us the ability to be empowered. And one of those ways, like we see here, is through prayer, to be in community with Christ. And the cool thing with all of these ways that that Christians are empowered, that we're empowered through Jesus Christ, is that everything, it's the opposite of the world here, it's because of him and not because of anything we've done. So the world might tell you, you're going to become more empowered if you take control. Or you might become more empowered if you do this, okay? But in the Christian walk, in the Christian life, we become empowered by laying down our life and because of everything that he did for us and not because of what we've done in our lives. So think about that as you go through your life. Where is Jesus empowering you? How does he want to continue to empower you? And are you going to look to him for that strength? Or are you going to try to do it on your own strength? So the two areas in which I'm going to talk about today where Jesus empowers the Christian. So how does prayer empower us? The first one that you can see up there is it helps us realize our need for Christ. So like I said, you would think when we talk about empowering that it would be more about you and it would be more about you being able to do things, But I'm going to go in the opposite direction, and we're going to talk about how prayer helps us completely realize that we can't do anything, and that we are only empowered when we realize that we need Christ in our life. We must all come to a place where we realize that we're empowered, not because of us, but because of Him. And some examples of this, so a car, for example, how is a car empowered? Is it empowered just by the metal, the car itself? No, it's empowered through gasoline. You go and get gas, you put it in the car has more power, it can go now. The Hoover Dam, a massive dam, by itself, it doesn't generate any power. But then you have water, and the water rushes through, and it generates power for thousands and thousands of people. So the Hoover Dam is empowered through water. A windmill is empowered through wind. If you just had a windmill standing in a place and there was no wind, there would be no power. A fridge or a washing machine or any of these appliances you have in your house, those are only empowered through electricity. Okay, you plug it in and it works and it gets going. If not, it would be useless. It would be completely useless to you. And in the same way, the Christian is completely powerless unless Christ, okay? If it wasn't for Christ, if it wasn't for Jesus, and if it wasn't for Jesus alone, we would have no empower and we wouldn't be empowered at all. So do you believe that? Do you believe that you're empowered by your own strength and you just have this little thing on the side where I believe in Jesus, or I go to church, or I believe these things because that's what most people in America do? Or are you completely empowered by the changing power of Christ and Christ alone? And we pray because we need Christ in our lives. So we pray to Him because we need more of that. We need more of Christ. We realize that we can't do things on our own strength. So we come to Him through prayer and we ask Him to give us that power through His Son. We ask Him to empower us in ways that maybe we haven't been able to do in the past. So when we become weak, God becomes strong. And I have another verse up there, James 5, 16. And in this verse he says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Second verse up there is Romans 8, 26. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us that groanings too deep for words." With groanings too deep for words. Psalms 4:1. "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayers." And then James 5:14. "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." So through these verses here, we see that we have no power on our own, right? We come to God, we pray, and we pray to God, asking Him to help us in these ways. We confess our sins, we pray for one another, His Spirit comes, His Spirit gives us strength. You look at the one there, James 5:14, if anyone's sick, if you get sick, yeah, you might think you're in control, you can try to go to the doctor, you can take medicine, you can do all of these things, but ultimately, it's in God's hand. God has control of this. We come, we pray, we ask that God would do the healing, because we know that it's out of our control. We have no control over that. So we can't do anything on our own, and we have to start admitting that we just completely need Christ. For every breath, for every moment, we think that we have control and we can do things on our own. But when we do that, it usually leads to destruction. So if we do things on our own, in our own strength, that's when things go wrong. That's when things go bad. So if you're a parent in here and you have kids, think about when they were young, or if you have young kids right now, or if you don't have kids, think about when you were a kid yourself. If your parents left you to your own devices, if I just threw my kids in a room and said, "Okay, just go ahead and do whatever you want," I would probably come, walk back 10 minutes later, maybe 2 minutes for some of your kids, And you would walk in the room and there would just be complete destruction, right? We would just see destruction. Toys would be thrown all over the place, unless you have really neat kids, which I have yet to see that. If we leave kids to their own devices, they're going to make a mess. They're going to get hurt. If you have more than one kid, my kids are famous for this. If you have more than one kid and you leave them in a secluded room or in the basement, it's inevitable that within a few minutes, one of them's going to come upstairs screaming and crying, saying that the other one hurt them, right? So they maybe haven't come to the realization that they need us to help give them guidance, to show them rules, to set boundaries for whatever they're doing. So similar to how fathers and mothers speak into kids' lives and set up those boundaries, and they need us. The same thing for a Christian. We have no power on our own. If we were left to our own devices, we would sin. We would continue to sin. We wouldn't be able to fix things on our own. So we come to Christ through prayer. And that's one of the ways that God empowers us, that we can come to Him, speak to Him, and it's completely through Him that we are empowered. The next question I want to pose is, do we believe that how God answers our prayers is for our good? So the kids might say, if they're in a room and they make a mess and things are all over the place, they might think, I like this better, right? But we set up boundaries for them, because it's for their good. We don't do it because we don't want them to have fun. We don't want them to play or do things like that. We set up these boundaries because it's for their own good. And if you could throw up the next verse, we see an example of this. Paul in 2 Corinthians here is in the same predicament. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of and then I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We see here that Paul has a thorn, and we don't know what the thorn is, but there's something that's nagging him, that's bothering him. And he comes to God, and he pleads to God, and he realizes that God is the only one that can remove this. And he prays, and he says, God, please remove this. And God chooses not to remove it. And the question I posed before was, do we believe that how God answers our prayers is for our good? So Paul thought, if we remove this thorn, it's going to be better for me. But God always knows best, and he's not going to remove things in our life at certain times because he knows that that's for our good. Maybe the thorn is there, and think about in your life, what could that thorn be? It could be financial hardship. It could be a disease. It could be sickness. It could be a tough time with your spouse, whatever that thorn is, just kind of fill in the blank for yourself. And do you believe that in this time of hardship, that God has it there for a reason, and that that thorn is there so that maybe we come to Him and we completely trust in Him and Him alone? So as we look to Christ to answer these prayers, which he's very capable of doing. He could take that thorn away at any moment. Do we believe, whether he takes it away or whether he doesn't, that it is for our good? Do we pray that? Do we realize that? Sometimes we get to a place where we feel like God has left us, especially when we have these thorns in our life. So the other day, I was taking a bath, and yes, I take a bath. Some people don't like that. They think they're swimming in their own stew. But I put some Epsom salts in there, so I'll admit this. I'm a 31-year-old guy, but I take Epsom salt lavender baths once in a while. So I'm sitting in this bath relaxing, and I just got to a point in my life where I had this thorn, and I'm sitting in my bathtub, and I am just wrestling with God. And I am just, in my mind, crying out to God, saying, I have this trial in my life, And I felt like God wasn't there. Like he had left me, like this trial had overcome me so much that I was wondering where God was. And maybe you feel that at times when you're in a very, very difficult trial, that you're in the moment, it's difficult, you feel like God has kind of abandoned you, like he's not there anymore, and you might cry out, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? But just know that when we pray to God, that when we ask these things, he is right there. He is close, and he has this thorn in your life for a reason, and that's the realization we need to come to. He never leaves us, and he has the power, and he empowers us alone that if he wants that thorn to stay, it's going to stay. Okay, and we have to realize, how can God be glorified through this? How can I learn to be more like God through this? And if he wants it to leave, it can leave. And then we would say, thank you, Jesus, for removing that thorn in my life, but we still want to turn to him and come to him. So that's the first point, God empowering us through realizing our need for him. The second one here, before I get to it, I'm just going to introduce it with a couple of pictures here. So if we could put up the first picture. Okay, we see a picture of a burning house. Hopefully this has never happened to you. But then we see something that gets us out of this trouble, and we see a fire hose. So if our house was burning down, we would have a hose to put out that fire. And then the second picture. Maybe we have credit card bills. Maybe we have debts. And then we see what can get us out of this trouble, and we have a stack of money there might help you get out of your debts. And then a third picture. We have someone sinking in quicksand. Hopefully that has never happened to you either, unless you've been to Africa or something. And we see a stick, right, to help us get out of this quicksand. We're sinking, we're falling, we're in trouble. What are we going to look to? We're going to look to the stick to get us out. Another picture. Someone's drowning. Of course, we have the lifesaver that would save you. Next picture. I think this is the last one. Yeah, this is my favorite one for the parents. You've been in this predicament where you have a baby there with a stinky diaper. Maybe exploded and had a big poop, and you have the wipes there to get you out of that predicament. And then the last one here, sometimes we think of prayer in that way as well. Sometimes we only think of prayer, sometimes we only come to prayer, kind of like those statistics were saying, some people don't realize the need for prayer, because we have problems in this world. So when I have problems, now I'm going to come to prayer. So things are going well. Things are going good. I just got a raise at work. My relationships are good. I just hit the winning home run in my softball league. And things are good, so I don't need to pray. I don't need to come to God. I don't need to have that relationship with God because things are good. It's all on my doing. But then there's other times maybe in your life where things get down. You have problems of this world, weight of this world. You're in debt. You just had a relationship problem. And then we come running to prayer and say, God, please get us out of this. It's like when you're a little kid, maybe, hopefully I'm not the only one that would do this, but as a kid, sometimes if you face troubles or you have a test coming up and you're not doing well in the class and you just sit there and you're like, God, if you would just help me get an A on this test, I will never ask you for anything again, right? Sometimes we have problems. Like, hopefully I'm not the only one that sometimes did that. Sometimes you have problems and you pray to God and you ask him like some type of genie that he's going to get you out of these problems that we're facing. That is not what prayer is about. And while he can get us out of these problems that we face in this world at times, and he will at times, the second point I wanted to make is that God, we are empowered through prayer because God's will is going to be accomplished. So what is God's will? God's will is that everyone comes to know him and has eternal life through his son. And then ultimately through that we become disciples and spread that word to the rest of the world. And that we're empowered through these things, through the things that the Bible teaches, and one of those things is prayer. So how can God's will be accomplished? So we can see that everything should be God-centered, God-focused, and so many times in prayer, like when I was in the bath, the lavender Epsom salts, I was so inward-focused that I wanted God to save me from my troubles, and I wasn't focusing or looking at what God wanted to accomplish through it or what God's will was going to be. So sometimes we come to him only when we're in desperation mode, and he doesn't want that. He wants us to come to him all the time to give thanksgiving when we are in need, and those are all good things. But ultimately, when we pray, are we praying that God's will be done? If we take a look here in Matthew 6, 9 through 10, we see in the Lord's Prayer, just a little segment of it, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." And I think it was, I don't know, a couple of years ago or months or years ago, I lose track of time, we did a whole sermon on the Lord's Prayer. But I just wanted to focus in on that first segment where it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And then the key part here is, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." So when we pray that, do we believe that? Do we want God's will in our life to be done? Because I find myself so many times praying and not saying, "God, your will be done," but I say, "Scott's will be done," right? So sometimes we fill that in the blank, and we want our will to be done because we think we know what's best. So are we thanking him for how he's working in our life, or do we just want what's best for us? And that's a very tough thing, because he can heal those things in our life. He can take those things away. But is he going to, when we want it, or are we going to pray to God and say, "Let your will be done, keep it there, and let me learn through it. Help me to become more like you. Refine me in these ways that you need to refine me in." And maybe it's just there because we need to be God-focused and God-centered. And every time you feel that pain, every time you feel that hurt, every time that thorn pokes in your side, it's God reminding you, saying, "Hey, you need to rely on me and me alone." And that is it. Jesus gives us another example of this. Right before he was crucified, put the verse up there from Luke. We see Luke 22. And this is speaking of Jesus. "And he withdrew from them about a stone throws away and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." So we see Jesus here about to be crucified, and Jesus was fully God, so he knew exactly what was going to happen to him. He knew exactly the torment and the pain that he was going to go through, being beaten, being mocked, ultimately dying on the cross. And this is just a short time before that happens, and Jesus is giving us an example. He continually goes away, and he prays. He prays to the Father, and he says, "Remove this cup from me." He doesn't want to go through it. He's giving that example of how sometimes we pray and we say, "God, remove this from me, remove this hurt, remove this pain, remove this trial, remove this hardship, this debt, whatever it may be." But then we see, very insightful, in the next line, he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And that is just very profound, because we pray for these things, we pray for him to remove some of these things, but then do we submit? Do you guys submit? Do I submit and say, "Nevertheless, no matter what the outcome, whether you take it away or whether you keep it, your will be done and not ours." And Jesus is praying for God the Father to take this away, that he doesn't have to suffer, that he doesn't have to go to the cross, but he knows that he must, because God the Father is, that's his will. And it's his will because it's his way to save the rest of the world. So sometimes we're so short-sighted, and we're like little kids, where we don't see the big picture. We only see a little sliver. And we think, if God would just remove this pain in my life, if I would just pray that he would remove this pain or this suffering or this trial, that things would be better. But what we don't see is what God sees, and that is the big picture, that by keeping that, his will is being done and not ours. We see Romans 8:28. You can put that one up there. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So he gives us this promise, this reassurance, that if we, when we pray, and that even if we have these trials, that his will be done, and through his will, he's perfect, and that all things are working for our good. So even if it doesn't seem at the time like being in debt is for your good, or being in this tough season is for your good, or having this cancer diagnosis is for your good, God promises that we know for those who love God, all things are working together for our good. So do we believe that? Do we cling on to that promise, even when things get tough, even when things get hard, that his will is being done and that he is doing it for our good? We do that with our kids, and we tell them, don't play with those knives because you might get hurt. And in the kid's mind, he's thinking, but this is going to be a lot of fun, or fireworks, or whatever, right? It's going to be better this way if I do it. And we know, as semi-mature and enlightened adults, because we've seen experiences and we know these things, that it's not going to turn out well. Someone is going to lose a finger. Someone is going to get blown up, okay? So we put these parameters. We tell them, don't do that for their own good. How much more Jesus and the Father, who is perfect, who knows how things are going to go. He sees the future and the past and the present, and he knows exactly that these things are for our good. And yet, we still stray from that. We don't believe that at times. So I want to encourage us all, and even myself, because I get in times of this, where I say, God, this is not for my good, right? You wrestle with God. You fight with God. And you say, how could this possibly be for my good? And God is promising us, he is saying to us, that these things are for our good. It's for my will, and my will be done, not your will be done. So we think we know what's best, but God knows better. And those two points we see here, that God's will is going to be accomplished, and that prayer is going to empower us by realizing our need for Christ, are two huge things, places that we need to come to as Christians, and we need to realize that through prayer, we can come to the Father, we can talk to the Father, and he created everything, he knows everything, he's perfect. It's just an awesome opportunity to come, to get to know him better, to know what his will for our life is, and through prayer, we get the opportunity to come to God and ask him, God, what would you want for my life? How would you want me to use these trials? How would you want me to use these things for your glory, for your advancement of your kingdom, that your will be done and not my will? So getting practical now, let's get practical. What are the struggles that you're facing in your life right now? We know that we live in an imperfect world. Looking at a room this size, we know that people are facing things on their own, maybe, that others don't know about, that are very difficult. Maybe you're holding some things in that have been very difficult. Maybe it's an addiction of some kind. Maybe your kids are just tough right now. You have a tough season of life. Maybe you have problems within your family, with other relatives. Maybe it's a physical ailment that you're facing. Maybe it's fear, anxiety, a tough decision that you have to make in life right now. Whatever it is, I want you to think over these next 5 seconds, put yourself in this blank. What struggles am I facing right now? And as you're thinking about that, you want to just give those things to God. Do you realize your need for Christ in those struggles? Or are you going to try to do it yourself? Are you going to try to get out of this addiction yourself and say, if I just try harder, if I just do more, if I just don't do this, it'll be better? Maybe it's a physical ailment. Maybe if I take more medicine, maybe if I go to the doctor, maybe if I try all the alternative medicines out there, the natural ways, maybe I'll get healthy again. Maybe it's fear of something, and you think, I just have to change my mindset. I can do it myself. Maybe if I just read some more self-help books, that will get me out of it. Do you realize right now that you need Christ and Christ alone for those problems, and that He alone can get you out of those things, and that He alone has you in these things to accomplish His will and accomplish His goals? And are you going to sit there and say, how is God going to use this? Okay, God, I'm in this time of trouble, I'm in this time of trial, but I want to use it for Your glory. I just don't want to get out of it. I want to stay in it, I want to rest in it, and know that You're going to do something great with it. So think about that. So are you praying that God would just remove things? So when you go and you pray at night, are you praying, God, just remove this, take this from my life, just get rid of this thing, just give me that A, just get rid of this fear, this anxiety, this physical ailment? Is that what you pray? Is that how you pray? Or are you praying, like Jesus' example, are you saying, please remove this, but if not, nevertheless, Your will be done? So are we seeking God in those things? Do we believe that these trials are for our good, that He is refining us, that He is refining our character through these things? What is He trying to teach us? How is He trying to make us more like Him in these times? And can we pray asking God to reveal those things to us, and saying, God, just show me, just give me a glimpse of why I am facing what I am facing? Will you give it to God and know that it is His will and not ours? Or will we turn from God? Many times we get in these trials and these tough situations, and people will just completely turn their back on God and say, God does not hear my prayers. He is not listening to me. He is not answering anything that I am asking. But it's not about us, and it's not about this genie that's just going to solve all of my problems. It's about Him and His will being done. There was I don't know if any of you read our daily bread. It's a daily devotional, but I was reading one a couple weeks ago, I think it was, and this woman whose mother was going through a very tough time. She had a very tough physical ailment. It was a sickness. It was killing her, and she was in a lot of pain, and the daughter was praying that God would take this pain away, that God would take this disease away, and that the woman would just stay here on earth, and that she wouldn't be in this pain. But the mom was praying the exact opposite, and she was praying that God would just take her home, and just, if this was it, that God's will be done, that she would just be in His presence, and that she would ultimately die, and that she would get to be with the Lord forever. So you can see two people praying to the same God, the exact opposites, and God was only going to answer one. He's not going to answer both. But can we pray those things, both those things, and say at the end of it, but Your will be done, God? Can we give it up to Him? Can we just completely leave it to God, knowing that He knows what's best, and He knows what we need? So God wants to hear from us. He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to pray to Him, to get to know Him better. He wants us to come to Him with our struggles, our fears, and our requests, all of those things. Just know that He will not always answer our prayers the way that we think is best, but the way that He thinks is best. And we ultimately are empowered. He empowers us by making us humble. So the opposite of what the world would say, be strong, right? Do it yourself. But God says, become humble. Give up your life. Lean on Me completely. Rest knowing that I know what's best, and I have a perfect will for your life. So it's the exact opposite. So can we lay these things down at the foot of the cross? And are we going to trust in God through these times? So I'm just going to finish up with prayer. Dear God, we just come to You today. I just thank You for Your message. I thank You for our ability to come to You with our prayers, with our worries, our anxieties, our thanksgivings, that You listen, that You are near us, Lord, that You are there to hear us, that like a good Father, You know what's best in our life. I would pray that all of us would just make it a devotional to pray to you daily, Lord, and just ask for what your will is in our life, through the tough times, through the good times, that we know that all things we do are for our good, and all decisions that are made are for your will, Lord. I just thank you for the people in this room, that we would go out, that we wouldn't just be hearers of this word, but that we would be doers, that we wouldn't just think to ourselves, okay, I can, you know, I heard that message, but now I can do it on my own, by myself. But that we would lean on you and you alone for our strength. I just pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.